Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you here. Today we begin a new series of sermons celebrating Reformation. 500 years ago, there was a sound of a hammer nailing a scroll on the wooden door of Wittenberg Castle. And that hammer could be heard throughout all of Europe. Now, no one thought odd that this monk by the name of Martin Luther would post his writings on the castle door, because the castle door was the Facebook of their day. We've come a long way, baby. But back in Luther's day, the castle door is where you found wedding announcements, funeral announcements, and community news. It was also a place where you would post ideas and opinions that you wanted shared with the broader community. Now, for Luther, he had 95 issues that he wanted to post about the church and how he believed that it had gone off course. Now, this young monk was not calling for a revolution. He is calling for reformation. Luther did not want a conflict. He wanted a conversation. He didn't want to get down and dirty. He wanted a dialogue. He didn't want to revolt against the church. He wanted the church to reform itself back to the Word of God as its standard of truth. And his writings call for the church to reclaim the Word of God instead of insisting upon these man-made traditions and regulations. And in the months, years, and even centuries to follow, that October day in 1517, this call for reformation, well, it changed the church. It changed the composition of countries, and it changed culture. The Reformation changed the world as we know it today. But many people don't know anything about it. Now, this fall, we'll be looking at some of the themes that shaped the Reformation, some themes that still shape our lives today. And we'll focus on how the Reformation reformed the church. But it's important that you understand that the Reformation changed the world. The Reformation changed the world as we know it and enjoy it even today. Much like the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost changed the Roman Empire, so the Reformation changed Europe and even the formation of the new world that was to come. The Reformation changed the control of countries and governments. It took the lead on universal literacy. And it was a champion to elevate women out of the depths of polygamy and servitude. Now, I've had the privilege to visit Germany, which is the home place of the Reformation, a few times, only to discover that most people know nothing about Luther and they know little about the Reformation that changed the world. Now, this series will be focusing in on celebrating Reformation, not celebrating the Reformation. And there's a big difference. We will be considering certain events of the Reformation, but the main point will be on God reforming our hearts to His Word as we celebrate God's grace through Christ together. Now, for the Reformers, 500 years ago, they organized the Reformation around certain slogans known as the solas or alone. And the first and foundational slogan was sola scriptura, which is scripture alone. The Reformers believed the Bible alone was the divine compass to direct us in glorifying God. And the statement, the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice, well, it became a product that came out of the Reformation. This means that the Word of God contained in scriptures of the Old and New Testament is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God. The Reformers taught that scripture alone teaches us what to believe concerning God. And the Bible alone tells us what God requires of humanity. The Reformers believed that a person's conscience should be captive only to the Word of God, and that Scripture alone should bind a person's heart. Now, it wasn't that the medieval church didn't believe in the authority of the Bible. They did. But the problem was that instead of embracing Scripture alone, the medieval church embraced Scripture plus. Scripture plus. The medieval church believed that extra teachings, that is, teachings that they themselves had established, well, these teachings were the same, had the same authority as the Bible. Teachings like a priest had the authority to forgive sin. Teachings like people could pray to certain individuals that the church had elevated to sainthood to obtain certain blessings. Blessings like safe travel or health. They had a saint for every occupation under the sun. Teachings like indulgences, where you could make a contribution to the church that would forgive certain sins and to make sure that your relatives made it to heaven. Skipping purgatory. Purgatory is another one of those teachings. There's a little phrase, once the coin in the coffer rings, so a soul from purgatory springs. Teachings like transubstantiation, or as it's also called, the miracle of the Mass, that taught that the priest had the spiritual power to change the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper into the actual body and blood of Jesus. And now these are just a few of what the medieval church believed. And all of these were man-made teachings, but they said that they had the same authority as the Bible. Also, the medieval church believed that the Pope's official announcements, that is, whenever the Pope spoke on behalf of the church, that those pronouncements were to be regarded as the very words of God Himself. You see, the medieval church did not believe in Scripture alone. They believed in Scripture plus. The medieval church believed in the Bible, plus extra teachings, plus the Pope. And Reformers, well, they took a stand. And they called people back to the Bible as the only God guide to direct them in glorifying God. Scripture alone became the fuel that fueled the flame that burned away these man-made traditions and papal authority. Now, you will not find the phrase Scripture alone in the Bible. But you will find numerous passages that reinforce the truth of Scripture alone. Scriptures like, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Notice it says, all Scripture is, not all Scripture plus is. Scriptures like we use in our call to worship. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not man-made traditions and regulations, but the word of God. And then, of course, how can a man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. We keep our ways pure before the Lord according to the word of God, not according to man-made traditions, regulations, or authorities. Now, as we consider celebrating Reformation this morning, let me just tell you that the problem today is not Scripture plus. That's not our problem today. Our problem today is scriptural animosity. Research shows that the negative attitude towards the Bible are becoming more and more commonplace. Let me give you a few examples. If a person says that they believe the words of Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me," well, that person will be characterized as a narrow-minded religious bigot. If a person says that they believe the Bible tells us to abstain from sexual immorality, well, that person will be considered as a sexual prude and probably has some sexual issues himself that he needs to deal with. And if a person says they believe that Jesus is coming back to establish the new heavens and the new earth, then you might as well sit down and take a seat and wait for the paramedics to Baker Act you. The problem of the day is scriptural animosity. The point is that many people today are hostile to the thought of a person constraining their thoughts and opinions to only what the Bible says about a particular subject. Many people consider Bible-believing Christians to be nothing more than ignorant, narrow-minded country pumpkins. Many people strongly dislike the idea of a person's conscience being captive to anything. For many, the truth of Scripture alone, well, this is a direct assault upon individualism, and it has no place in modern culture. That we must understand that individual autonomy, well, that is the crown jewel of the modern mindset. People believe that everyone has the right to their own personal, private, and individual conclusions. And for people to bind themselves to an outside source for a rule of faith and practice, well, this is doing nothing more than committing intellectual slavery. Well, how can we be reformers in the modern day? How can we call people back to the Bible? I think Peter gives us great insights as the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, "In your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being ready, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." How do we become reformers? Well, it starts with us. It always starts with us. It's easy when we begin thinking about sharing God's word with someone else. It's easy for us to let our minds drift off on what we believe that person needs, or what that person needs to know, or what that person needs to understand. But God is saying it starts with us. Notice, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." See, it starts with knowing that we have set Jesus Christ as our Lord. Reformation starts with us crowning Christ Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our own hearts. Reformation starts with us. It always starts with us. And after crowning Christ as Lord in our hearts, we need to understand the issues, both from a secular and scriptural point of view. Notice the apostle says, "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." The fact is, we need to be current. We need to be up to date. We need to know our stuff. Listen, nobody likes a stupid Christian. We need to understand the other person's perspective. And we also need to know what the Bible says and what the Bible doesn't say about a particular issue. And then we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the spirit of gentleness and respect as we discuss these issues with others, especially non-believers. As the apostle says, "Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Allow the Holy Spirit to work in a person's heart. And as you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in a person's heart, seek the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of gentleness and respect. But as we face spiritual animosity from some outside the church, we are confronted with scriptural apathy from within inside the church. What I mean by scriptural apathy is the reality that some don't take advantage of the opportunities to learn God's word. Now, during Luther's day, illiteracy was a big problem. At that time, most people were farmers and they didn't need to know how to read to make a livelihood. But Luther wanted everyone to read the Bible without hindrance. And the recent invention of the printing press enabled Luther to embark on one of the most aggressive literacy campaigns in the history of Western civilization. And Luther's rationale for wanting people to learn to read, well, from his point of view, is the most powerful rationale imaginable. And that was, the reading of the Bible for themselves will bring people closer to God. You can't get any better reason than that. Luther wrote, let the man who would hear God speak read Holy Scripture. Let the man who would hear God speak read Holy Scripture. What a powerful quote. But illiteracy is not the problem in the church today. Apathy is. I just wanted to share with you these statistics. 88% of Americans own a Bible. 80% of Americans believe that the Bible is sacred. On the average, there's 4.4 Bibles in every household. I don't know how you get 0.4 of a Bible, but anyway, you get the point, right? But let's settle down and talk about us. 19% of churchgoers read the Bible daily. Only 19%. And 60% of that 60% of those who are 60% of those people say the reason why they don't study the Bible, the reason they don't read the Bible, is because they're too busy. They're too busy to read the Word of God, and they're too busy to learn anything about it. Doesn't that sound like the time when Jesus was teaching a Bible study in Martha's house? And as Jesus taught the Word of God, and can you only imagine what it would have been like to hear the Word of God teach the Word of God? Now that would have been a Bible study. Mary, Martha's sister, sat at Jesus' feet and she was listening to every word. But Martha was so busy doing this and doing that to the point that she became frustrated. And she came up to the Lord and said to him, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The point is that if you want to celebrate Reformation, you must choose the good portion, which is learning the Word of God. You need to know that whenever you choose the Word of God, that is, you have made time to read the Scriptures. You've made time to study the Scriptures. You made time to go to Bible study or to Sunday school class. When you make, you're choosing the good portion. And you need to know that the good portion, it will never be taken away from you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God stands forever. Amen? Amen. You see, studying and applying the Word of God to our lives, well, it is the treasure in heaven where neither moths or rust destroy, or thieves can break in and steal. It's the treasure that lasts a lifetime. Brothers and sisters, we must overcome scriptural apathy by getting plugged into a Bible study or an adult Sunday school class. And if you really want to overcome scriptural apathy, you should be listening now. This is what you should do. You should sign up to teach a children's Sunday school class. Because in doing so, you fulfill your responsibility to be a volunteer, but at a second time, you're learning the Word of God, because there's no better way to learn anything than when you have to teach it. So signing up to teach a children's Sunday school class, this is two blessings in one. Many of you know my own personal story and how I grew up in the church and I successfully goofed off my whole childhood, squandering opportunities to learn the Word of God. By God's grace, when I was 18, He opened my heart to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And at that point, I sincerely surrendered my life to Jesus. After my conversion, my parents gave me the opportunity to go to Bible college. And at Bible college, I quickly became embarrassed about my lack of understanding of the Bible. I didn't know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. And I would go to these classes, and these people would be able to turn right there to the point, and here I am going, trying to figure out where at. So I did what any intelligent 18-year-old boy would do. I just quit taking my Bible to class with me. One day, one of my professors asked to speak to me after the class. And as we talked, I told him about my situation. And this is what he said to me. If you'll bring me a cup of coffee with two creams and one sugar at 6:30 every morning to my office, I'll teach you the Bible. His name was Henry Evans. And I am forever indebted to him. His act of discipleship put me on the road of learning the Word of God. And it changed my life. He gave me the opportunity. And at that point, after goofing off all my life, I was ready. I was ready to put to death scriptural apathy and to start my journey in discovering God's Word. Dr. Henry Evans gave me the opportunity so I could celebrate Reformation every day of my life. And brothers and sisters, there are many Henry Evanses in this church, teaching Sunday school classes and leading small groups, wanting to give you the opportunity to celebrate Reformation and to overcome scriptural apathy. As you can see in your worship guide, our fall ministries have all launched out, Bible studies and small groups and such. It's not too late. And for you more mature Christians, you need to be like Henry Evans. And you need to reach out to other people that you see are struggling in their understanding of God's Word. People that aren't putting themselves in the position to be able to learn God's Word. And a lot of times it's just like so simple. You just take them by the hand and say, hey, come with me, sit with me. And just simple things. People need to overcome the barriers that are stopping them from studying the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, every generation has their challenges in celebrating Reformation. For the Reformers, it was a misguided church and illiteracy. And for us, it's animosity and apathy. But the answer to these challenges are the same. Don't you see it? It's Scripture alone. Scripture alone will change our lives. Scripture alone will change our church. Scripture alone will change our culture. Scripture alone will change our communities. And Scripture alone will change our country. Now, Nehemiah and Ezra, they were reformers in their day. They lived about 500 years before the birth of Christ. God had called these two men to provide the leadership needed for the covenant people to rebuild the ruined city of Jerusalem. And they had a lot of work to do. By the time Nehemiah and Ezra showed up, the people were tired and they were discouraged. But Nehemiah and Ezra knew that if there was going to be true reform, if these people were truly going to rebuild their lives, their families, their community, their city, they needed the word of God. So they gathered all the people together in the city square, and Ezra began reading the word of God to them. Ezra stood at a wooden lectern, as I do before you today, reading the word of God to the people and pausing occasionally to give them a better understanding to the words that they were hearing. As Ezra read the word of God, the people were so attentive, listening to every word. And this went on from early morning till midday. And then Nehemiah told the people, "Go home and celebrate the goodness of God's word." He said, "Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and rejoice that the joy of the Lord is your strength." You see, like the people back in Nehemiah and Ezra's day, the busyness of life can be a drain on us. It can cause us to become discouraged and overwhelmed. But like those people in Nehemiah and Ezra's day, so we today need to realize that the Word of God can truly bring refreshment and revival into our lives. And when we make those conscious decisions that I'm going to break away from the world, I'm going to break away from the activity, and I'm going to read the Word of God, I'm going to study the Word of God, I'm going to get involved in a Bible study or a small group, well, this is when you really start being refreshed. And the task of rebuilding your lives, rebuilding the city, will take place in even better time because you've taken care of your soul. So all the people that day went away and they ate and they drank and they celebrated a great feast because they understood the word of God that had been made known to them. And this can happen to you too. God wants you to celebrate reformation. And he wants you to start by embracing the truth of Scripture alone. He wants you to embrace the truth of Scripture alone because the law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord, well, they're right, causing the heart to rejoice. The commandments of the Lord, they're pure, enlightening our eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and it endures forever. And the judgments of the Lord, they're true. They are righteous altogether. And God's word should be desired in our life more than gold, even much fine gold. Because it is sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than the drippings of the honey from the honeycomb. Because as we study God's word, we are warned by God about certain ways that can trip us up and cause us to fail. And as we study the word of God, he promises us to reward us for doing so. So God desires that you would embrace the word of God in your life. God desires that you would no longer be a naive child being tossed here and there by the waves of life and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men and by their crafty scheming. God desires for each one of us to grow up in every way in Christ, and we do this by embracing Scripture alone. God desires for us to celebrate Reformation by reforming our hearts to his word as we celebrate His grace through Christ. So let us, as God's people, let us crown Jesus Christ as Lord in our life, and let us make a commitment that we will be the people of His word. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today again thanking you that you did not leave us in the dark, but you faithfully have written down your word, recording from the beginning of time who you are, your purposes, your will. You have unfolded for us the grand message of the gospel found in Jesus Christ, who fully demonstrated your love, that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Jesus, I embrace you. I crown you as Lord of my life. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Claim me as a child of God. And Lord, as your child, I come to you today and ask that I would not be distracted by the animosity nor the apathy that's found in our culture today, but that I would be your servant, submitted and committed to the Word of God, Scripture alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.